In Matthew 7:19, Jesus mentions fire. Does that fire represent hell? And what difference does it make if it doesn't? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you'd like to have your questions answered, you can do so by sending us a message at our email, which is radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's interesting question with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we're taking your questions, and here's a question based on a book that we put out by you and Zane Hodges, and what you guys were doing where you recorded a bunch of discussions together.
It was around 2000. We got together once a week or so, and we would record a discussion. We talked about a lot of the outer darkness passages, a lot of the parables in the Synoptic Gospels. So we went through especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
So we took those discussions that we have on CD that you can get at our website, and we basically transcribed them, typeset them, and put them into two books. One of the books is What is the Outer Darkness? Because you had a lot of discussions specifically on that topic. And then everything else we put in the book, Tough Texts. And we have a question here from Marcia. And Marcia is going through the Tough Text book in her Sunday school. And by the way, there's questions in the back there. A lot of our books have questions in the back, so you can use them as Sunday school material. And she has a question about Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, but especially verse 19. And here's the passage. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now, Marcia says that in the back of the book, question number 8 says, why doesn't the fire of verse 19 refer to hell? What evidence do you see in the context? That's what the book says. And she says, I understand that fire doesn't always refer to hell, thanks to your book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words of the Bible. But I just don't see in the text of Matthew 7 what the answer is. Are we talking about unbelieving prophets or believers? Any help here would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, first of all, it's a great question. Secondly, the text is not crystal clear one way or the other, so she could be right. But the key words are the first four in English. Beware of false prophets.
Right.
If we lose sight of that, we lose sight of the whole passage. The them all the way through the passage, where he says, you will know them by their fruits. The them is the only people being talked about in this passage, which is false prophets.
Right. So one of the issues here is this passage is often people go to it just to see who are the fake Christians. And you are considered a fake Christian if you're not behaving a certain way.
Right. And that's not at all what the passage is talking about.
That's not what the passage is about. So suddenly that becomes a fruit inspection passage in the sense that you're supposed to figure out, well, am I really saved or not by looking at your behavior changes? But what you argue is, you're misapplying the passage here. This is about false prophets in particular.
Right. You will know them, false prophets, by the fruits of the false prophets. And it's said again in verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you will know them, the false prophets. Now, there is a question as to what the fruits are. Some people would think, well, this is the evil deeds of the false prophets. However, you'll notice at the beginning in verse 15, he says, they come to you in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a figure of speech, but most likely it means they kind of look like sheep.
Right. Outwardly, you couldn't really tell by their behavior what they really are.
So I would suggest that the fruits here are their teachings. And you find this later in the book of Matthew. I think it's in Matthew chapter 12, around verse 38, where he talks about that the fruit is what comes out of the mouth.
Matthew 12:33,
yeah.
Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the fruit is related to what you're speaking.
Right. The words seem to be the fruit. And so I would suggest what's going on there in Matthew 7 is that the fruit is the teachings of the false prophets.
That's the thing that's being judged.
So the fruit of their ministry is their teachings.
Right.
And so he's saying you'll know them by their teachings because their teachings are inconsistent with the Word of God. That's the whole point. Now, when you get to 17, 18, 19, it's not saying that if you're born again, everything you do is going to be good, and if you're not born again, everything you're going to do is bad.
That's the fruit inspection interpretation.
That's that model. We know that even unbelievers do good things. For example, Jesus said, won't a father give his son good gifts? If he asks him for a fish, he's not going to give him a stone or a snake. And so the unbelievers treat their own families well, and believers don't always do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Believers sometimes do things which are displeasing to the Lord, sometimes very displeasing to the Lord. And so that's not what this is saying. What it's saying is ultimately the actions which proceed or the words which proceed come from the inner person. Both the believer and the unbeliever are conflicted. Now, the believer has a new nature and an old nature. The believer could live out of either one. The unbeliever, of course, is a slave of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But because he still has the image of God, there is that within him which is inclined to do what God would want him to do.
Right.
And so sometimes the unbeliever lives out of his image of God self. But in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Now he's talking about what literally happens to rotten trees in your backyard.
He's using it as an illustration.
Right. You cut it down and you burn those trees up.
But he's not talking about any kind of tree. He's talking about a fruit-bearing tree.
Uh-huh.
So you've got an apple tree, you've got an orange tree, you've got something like that.
So literally, this is a literal fire in someone's farmland that they're just burning up a stack of old trees.
Right, because the tree is no longer productive.
But then you would think to yourself, okay, now this has to have some type of application to the prophets.
It does.
But the application isn't that you'd take the prophets and throw them into literal fire.
Right.
So what's the application?
Well, it seems to me the application would be that God is going to judge the false prophets, but also the application would be that the believing community should reject the false prophets.
Right.
They should not support them in any way. They should not get them any money. They should not pray God's blessings on them.
Right.
Etc. Could this refer to eternal condemnation? Well, theoretically it could. But part of the problem is a believer could be a false prophet. In fact, she mentioned she didn't know there are these believing or unbelieving false prophets.
Are we unbelieving prophets or believers?
I think they're unbelieving, but at least one interpreter I've read suggests these are believing false prophets,
right,
believers who have strayed.
Right.
And that's certainly possible. I think that's trying to cut this too fine. I think the main point here in verse 19 is that they're falling under God's judgment here and now.
So fire is just a symbol for judgment.
Right. Now, it could ultimately, if they're unbelievers, it's going to lead to eternal condemnation unless at some point in the future they come to faith.
So what kind of judgment does that look like then for false prophets?
Well, in the Old Testament, they were stoned to death.
Right, they were stoned to death.
But in the New Testament, it would be God's judgment upon them. And so this could be illness, this could be financial hardships, this could be them being jailed. You know, we've had examples in our lifetime of some preachers who have misused the funds given to their ministries and
sure,
they've gone to jail.
Yeah.
The
or
teachings,
they've said, God told me, you need
right
to give me X amount of millions of dollars or else
right
I'm going to die or whatever.
Right.
So in answer to Marcia's question, since Jesus is literally talking about a real fire that a farmer is using to burn up a real tree, it's not literally in the text the fires of Hades or the lake of fire.
Right. And the other thing I would suggest is this is possibly, if not probably, parallel to John 15, 1-6. In John 15, he's talking about the vine. And if the vine is not bearing fruit, he lifts it up so that it might bear more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But if it continues to not bear fruit, it's cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. And we also discussed that passage in the book Tough Text. And we suggested there that's talking about judgment now, temporal judgment,
right,
judgment in this life. And so I think they're parallel because a fig tree, of course, is a fruit-bearing tree.
Right. And this is, would you say this is proverbially true? I mean, I'm sure that we could see false prophets who seem to be pretty much successful and get away with it until they die. And you don't always see God's judgment. Like, they don't all get sick. They don't all go to jail. They don't all die of cancer.
Right. Now, what we can say is they are all experiencing some aspects of God's judgment, but they may be unseen to us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they may be going through grief. They may be going through family problems we're unaware of, or other problems, health problems we're not aware of. The truth is, yes, it is proverbially true in terms of being able to observe it. I suppose it's possible God might have a false prophet that he would allow to continue to prosper and not bring any judgment. But I would say it's more likely that if there's no evident judgment, it's still taking place. We're just not seeing it.
And can I say this? I notice in this passage there's an imperative here. Beware.
Mm-hmm.
You will know that there's a responsibility that you and I have, and you should be on the lookout for these guys.
We're all to be Bereans, Acts 17, verse 11. We're to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. So when you're listening to our show, or when you're listening to any other preacher or teacher on the radio or on TV, or you're reading Christian books, be a Berean. Search the scriptures and say, is this consistent with what the Word of God says? And we shouldn't allow our tradition to blind us to the truth. Sometimes we're caught up in a tradition, and so we're not even open to the fact that maybe our tradition is not completely accurate. Maybe there's some aspect of our tradition we need to say, no, that's not quite right. What if you grow up in a tradition that believes in work salvation? Do you just continue to follow that blindly along, or do you say, maybe it's true, it's a free gift, and we simply receive it by faith in Christ apart from works? Be a Berean, search the scriptures, and one day you will hear the Lord say, if you continue to follow him in faith and good works, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've come to another Friday. Thank you so much for listening. Now, on Monday, our show is going to cover another passage from Matthew, so you don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.